Well, good morning to all of you, and God bless you. This week, we're going to have a very interesting week. You're going to have a very interesting week. Listen to a preacher that has courage to do God's job in another language that is not his. As you can tell, my accent is going to give you a little trouble. But that's why I'm using PowerPoint, so the things, my main ideas that you may not understand is going to appear on the PowerPoint, so you can see, oh, okay, I know what he's talking about, okay? Let me introduce myself first. And before I do this, thank you, Paul, and the congregation for letting me use the time of your Bible class. Brother Steve told me last night that you're having a very interesting topic studying, and everybody's well involved in the Bible study. So I really want to appreciate the time that you are giving me for this occasion. I believe that it will be a good way to introduce myself, my family, and the work that I've been doing. My name is Basilio Muñoz. I was listening to the prayer of the brother who prayed. And he prefers to use the teacher instead of my name. Probably he could not remember. And I cannot remember many of you. I remember Scott. I remember Paul and Steve because I've been talking to them. But it's hard for a person try to memorize names in another language. It's so difficult. And let me tell you, God bless you because you speak a language so hard to speak. I mean, English, you write things one way and pronounce it a different way. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. But anyways, I'm trying to do my best, okay? This morning is with me my wife, of course, Becky, and Darcy, our only daughter we have. And we have three grandchildren, and we have two here with us, Amy and Miranda. So I'm glad that they were willing to come here. Actually, during the week, you're gonna see us just Becky and I with Amy and Miranda because Darcy is going back to work. But today she had a day off, and she decided to come with us and fulfill her task as mother. Well, I grew up in Mexico. I've been a member of the church since I was 12 years old. I was talking to Hayden a while ago. He told me that he's 13 and he's already a Christian. I remember that's why I went to talk to him because at that age, at 12 years old, I became a Christian in Reynosa, Tamaulipas, Mexico. Reynosa is a border city with McAllen, Texas. I don't know how many of you will be familiar with that area, but it's 4 hours south of San Antonio. So if you think that San Antonio is south, well, 4 more hours you're going to need to travel to really go to the border. It is a place called the Rio Grande Valley, and now it's a huge place that is growing a lot, like I guess every area in the United States. But at that time, it was just like the back door, you know, of the United States. No, it was not important. Unfortunately, I believe today they are important because of the insecurity that prevails in those areas because of the narco things, you know, the traffickers that are there. So it will be good for us to pray for the brethren in that area, either in the American side and in the Mexican side, both sides, because they're really struggling every single day with the insecurity. It's so awful. The only reason, we're going back to Mexico next month, Lord willing, I need to hold another meeting in Monterrey. And the only reason we go to Mexico is because we're going to preach. Even though it's my country, I love my country, I want to be there. For any other reason, right now, we don't go because of the insecurity, especially in the border cities. So you have friends or relatives or pray for them because every single day, you know, there's insecurity. It has been a lot of tragedies among brethren of the church in those areas. You know, they have lost their children or parents because it was a shooting and randomly, you know, a bullet came and hit them. It's just every day. And children in school are, you know, terrorized for these things, you know. So it would be good for us to remember them in your prayers also, okay? So I grew up in that on that area. Remember very well when I was worshiping there that every year a caravan of brethren like you, I can see that. How many years? 40-something years back. It was a caravan all day, every year, of the American brethren that go into Mexico. and they stay there in the house of the preacher. And you know, it was like a very joyful 1 or 2 days, seeing a lot of different kind of people, you know, because for us you're different, and for you I'm different, right? That's true. That doesn't mean that it's better or worse. We're just different. So to us, all of a sudden, see all these white people with white hair, and some of them without hair. I mean, it was fun. And then they none of them speak a lot of Spanish, so it was just a very nice memory. And now, growing up there, I remember since I was very young, I asked God that one day I would like to be able to teach the Bible in another language. And because of the cercanity of the closeness of the borders, I was interested in your language, you know. Until today, I'm not very fluent, but I'm trying to do my best. I have never been in school here in the United States. I just learned from my wife, my children. They teach me English when they were growing up, because all of them grew up here in the United States. So I'm blessed on that side. So now here, for me, it's a great week. This is the third gospel meeting they have held in English. I don't preach very regularly in English. I'm always preach in Spanish. For the last 9 or 10 months, I've been helping a group here in Orlando, in Azalea Park, a very small group. I've been preaching there in English every week and every Wednesday. So that, like, God is training me now for this, I believe. So to me, it's a great accomplishment. I hope, and I prayed a lot. I was telling my wife, you know, that I need to pray a lot, that you must be edified, because that's the purpose of this gospel meeting. And believe me, I'm going to do my best to do that, okay? I'm going to try to keep asking God for wisdom and the ability to express my ideas in your language so you can understand. I'm not very wise. I'm telling you up front, I'm not very wise, but I love God's word, and I'm going to use it. So you won't hear Basilio's philosophy or wisdom, but I want to share with you God's wisdom, both reading the Bible, and that's what we're going to do during this week. So it's been more than 11 years that every year we go to Guatemala, Central America, and Mexico, and different places. And I just came from Guatemala, where I was preaching in 10 different congregations in 14 days. I was telling Brother Steve, if he has been in Mexico, he says, no, actually, I'm not being out of the United States. So, but I said, I want you to consider this, you know. Going to another country, preaching, especially a country like Mexico, Central America, you won't believe how refreshing will be for your spiritual life. It will transport you back to the 50s or 60s when you were living here. I have pictures where my wife and I were just walking several, 2 or 3 miles or 2 miles to go to this place, the worship place, under the rain. Everybody's carrying a piece of plastic, so you cannot be at least soaked, you know. The church building, they don't have not even concrete, it's just dirt. They have windows, but they don't have glass on the windows. They have doors, but they don't have door where to open. You'll see a lot of dogs there being faithful instead of people. You will hear the pigs around and dogs and everything, and you'll see you when it's rain. I'm not lying. I was preaching, and I'm loud when I preach. And brethren there, they cannot hear me because they have like a metal roof, you know. And when it rains there, it really rains. And I need to stop, you know. I need to cut off my sermon because they could not hear me right there. So when you see the efforts of many brethren, men and women coming, walking, or in their horses under those conditions, you need to be refreshed. You say, you know, we have more than we deserve in this country. You have air conditioned everywhere. You go to your car and you turn your car and it's air conditioned right away. And if it's cold, you put the heater. You don't have those commodities there. You don't have those facilities there. So, and you see brethren and women and children coming happy to sing. They are sweating, singing there. It has to be something on them that will inspire you. You know what it is? It's faith in God. That regardless of the circumstances, you know, they're coming to worship God. At least for me, it's a lesson. And I know that you go, it will be also a lesson for you. Well, you're going to be seeing some of the pictures from there. I just quote some passages in the book of Acts, you know. And I present this lesson or this PowerPoint in Orlando. And I saw Sister Tammy just coming here. So probably you already saw this, Sister Tammy. But it will be good for you to remember. And one of the things that we do when we go there, there's a couple of or three preachers that always support our efforts there. One of them is Francisco, the one you're looking there, Francisco and Jolie. They live actually in the Guatemala city, in the capital city, which is the biggest city in Guatemala. They could never had children, but they had one thing that they really love, that little thing they call a parrot, I guess. I don't know if that's an animal because he's able to talk, he laughs. He got mad. He cries. When people is knocking the door, he talk and answer people and let them know that somebody's knocking. I mean, I don't know if that's really an animal. He can dance also. Actually, there's a story behind why he danced. He usually was going to the services and with the brethren, you know. But he was too loud sometimes. Brother Francisco was preaching and he was saying, "Yeah, go, go, Francisco, go," something like that. So one day, it was too loud. And one day, one sister was going to the services, and she saw that they were selling a dog, you know, and she just stopped and buy a dog on her way to the services, and she came with the dog. And the brother who was introducing, when she saw the dog and the parrot, and said, "Well, instead of this looking like a church, this look at Noah's Ark, you know." So, because now we have a dog and a parrot, and tomorrow I don't know what else will be here. So, they talk to Sister Jolie and say, "I know that you love your parrot, but you know what? Don't bring it anymore because, you know, it's interrupting service, you know, it is." So, she got kind of a little mad and she asked me, "Do you think they did good?" I said, "I think so. They were right on asking you because it was just interrupting service, you know." But, you know, she said, "You know what? But since that day, now he wants to listen music and he dance." I said, no. "That music and somebody is teaching how to dance. It's not a parrot himself because somebody's teaching him, you know." And she just laughed, you know. But she said, they disfellowship and now he started dancing. So I said, "No, be careful, Sister Jolie, where you go." But it's interesting. Yeah, Brother Francisco is being a great preacher in the Guatemala capital city. He works and right now in a church that is called Belen, and he's been doing this for long times. He's supporting partially for the church in one of the churches in Athens in Eastside. I believe somebody here from Eastside is Eastside support him partially for a long time, and he's doing such a good work in the capital city. This is the congregation where he preaches. You know, I just want to show you some pictures. It's like everywhere. I have heard also brothers in New York, in the capital city, they have a lot of problems finding a good place where to worship because it's expensive on those capital cities. Well, the same thing in Guatemala. They don't have a good building. They rent. Actually, what they rent in is a warehouse. And they just try to paint it and try to accommodate themselves there, you know. But as you can see, people are just happy. They don't have, like I'm saying, air conditioning. Besides, in Guatemala City, is because so high, the city is so high, the weather always is so good. I mean, you can wear suits and a little sweater, and that's just perfectly fine because it's the weather. You know, they never are, over there it's never too hot. So this is part of Congregation Belen, like in many other cities, like I said, it's hard to find a place. But I preach about be holy. They really enjoy that sermon. I break it down in three different parts, and it's a very good and interesting sermon. I hope, I don't know if I'm going to be preaching here that sermon, but it is a good thought, you know, just for us to remember that we were called to be holy. And today in this world, it looks that holiness is lost. And sometimes even in the church, we're not taking it seriously, and we're not presenting ourselves as we should in the way that we talk, the way that we dress, the way that we're thinking. We're so mixed in this world that we're not prepared to be holy. And that's a concern. And if I will be courageous enough this week, I might present that lesson, okay? Probably will be the last day, because after that, I don't know you want to see me anymore. No. But it is a good thought, you know, and hopefully one day we can together study about it. And I'm just telling them, brethren, you know, that this is another congregation. The name of that congregation is Zumpango. It's don't even try. I mean, it's an Indian word, Mayan. It's a Mayan word, and all the endings in the Maya that ends in ango, which means dearth or land. That's the meaning of that pronunciation. So, Zumpango, it is a land of a lot of rabbits. Okay, and that's what it is. And people there, most of them are still Mayan descendant, and they are bilingual, but they don't speak English and Spanish. They speak Spanish and the Mayan dialect. The Mayan dialect has more than 32 ramifications: Quiche, Nahuatl, Tzotzil, and so many different. And they are, I don't know if you have heard some of these dialects, you know. But when you listen, just the sounds, it sounds to me like Chinese people talking. The same kind of sounds that they do with their garganta, you know, throat, I don't know. It just sounds so weird. It's nothing like Spanish. And don't be thinking that it's from the Spanish. No, it's just so different. It's a dialect. It's a mother language, you know. It's very original. And they're so proud to talk about, you know, to be able to be speaking still this language. But they also speak Spanish, and we are helping them, you know, to be edified. And the other two partners that always are with us is Brother Elder. He's such a very good Christian. We have learned through the years to really, I can say this in English, you know, Becky? To love him. I cannot say that expression in Spanish. It is a cultural thing. But in English, I can say that we have learned to love him. I will explain to you later on why I can. But in Spanish, it's me as a man. And I know that in Christ we should love each other. But cultural thing doesn't allow me to say that yo amo al hermano Elder. No, I won't say that. You know, I like him. I can say in Spanish, I like him. He's a good man. But I cannot say I love him, you know. It's because of the cultural. I'll explain you probably later on. But the other preacher is Brother Ruben. And Ruben also, he speaks the dialect, the Mayan dialect, one of them. And he is always with us, and both of them, without their help, I just cannot do what I do when I'm going to Guatemala. They plan with anticipation for we're going to go preaching, especially the churches that are inviting us to go, and I feel so secure and so blessed being their friend. You know, they're good people. They really... I don't know who that guy is. They really live... their family. That's Ruben's family. As you can see, the way that dress is different. His wife and two of his daughter, three of his daughter. Oh, he's my age. I don't know if you're good at guessing ages, but I'm not that old. My white is hair, okay? My hair is white, I'm sorry. I think in Spanish, and I said it that way. I'm 55. Becky, am I 55? No, 54. I'm going to be 55 next year. Ruben is our age. He's my age. And he was saying 2 years or three, a few years ago, you know what? My wife is pregnant again. Ruben, you're 51 and your wife is, well, she's 41, I guess. Yes, and he was like that. And then a few months later, he was carrying her, you know, and he was out of, it was his age to me as a grandfather, not as a father. He was so concerned with, I don't know what to do with this girl. Well, you were saying that you are a father now, take care. You know, he was just laughing kind of. But he's a happy man, and we've been staying in his house many, many times, and we enjoy him with them. Look at the way that they go to church. You know, you got you pack your Bible and everything and start walking to the services. Don't turn your Cadillac. No. Just walk several blocks or even kilometers, you know, so we can go to our service. You're going to be sweating a little bit, or it will be a little uncomfortable. I don't know if you have heard Brother David Reif. Heard his name? Okay, he went to this particular place and stayed 6 or 7 years living there in Guatemala. He learned the language. He took his family. I admire David for what he did. All of them became so fluent in Spanish, and now they're back in Pennsylvania somewhere there, you know. But David is a very courageous man, and he put a good example also. He also, even though he had a vehicle, he never took his family in his vehicle. He walked several kilometers. He lived far away from the building, and he just came, you know, he's not a typical American. He doesn't have one or two children. He had like a five or six. I don't know how many he's going in. He still wants more children, you know. So he's like kind of old-time American that have a children to work, and I'm going to plan another children to do this and another one for this. So that's the way I think our parents, you know, were planning us, you know. I came of a family of 12. My wife also came of a family of 12 children. So, but all of a sudden, just one or two? What's going on? The circumstances, right, probably. I don't know if that's true or not. And then this is the congregation where Ruben preaches. Is the strongest congregation besides some churches in the capital. This is Urbina Cantel, and the building, actually here they have a good building. For many years, Brother Wayne Portain and Bill Reese helped to make this building, and David stayed there, helping also to do some improvements to the building. So in this particular church, there are a lot of good men that they are doing a fantastic work preaching and sharing the gospel in Urbina Cantel. This brother, his name is Jose. He's totally blind. He's been blind for, I don't know, more than 35, 40 years. He preaches, he sings, he introduces the services. He do everything. He has a watch, you know, that talks. And when he's preaching, he says, don't be saying that I'm over the time. Let me see what time is. And then, see, I still have 5 minutes, he says. So don't put your face like that. it's a very humorous man, and I enjoy being around Brother Jose. This is another congregation close in a very small community. It's Pachach. Pachach is another Mayan word. This particular time, it was a very sad worshiping there. And I want to tell you a little bit about it, because just to put you in the orbit there. Pachach is in a very remote area. It's far away from any big cities. We call it a rancho, like a ranch, a community. And that Sunday, when I preached, they told me, Brother, this time it will be different. We're not going to invite you to eat. And as soon as you finish, we're going to come back, because there's some situations there. At the beginning, no, they don't want to talk about it. So eventually they say, well, this is what happened. The teenager, one of the brothers of the family there, Friday night, in the morning, Saturday morning, she was not found in her bed. Something happened, obviously. They started looking for her. And she was 16, she's 16 years old, and they could not find her. So they started looking and looking, and like a 2 or 3 hours on Saturday morning after they were looking for her, a boyfriend came and told Brother Mason, he says, you know what happened? You're looking for your daughter. You need to go to the mountain over there. I don't know if you're going to find her alive or probably she's dead. This is what happened. And he told him, you know what happened. Friday night, he came and invited her to go and drink, and get a drink, like a soda in the store. Something happened. They ended up going to a cantina where they sell beer. It was already night. She to begin with, she did not needed to go with him, after all, and not asking for permission, first of all. So she did wrong. So the guy in the cantina went and beat and hit the teenager boy and then raped her and drug her and took her to the mountain and just leave it there. In a remote area. You expect these things happen probably in the big cities. Brethren just cannot believe what happened. Thanks to the Lord, when they went up to the mountain, they found it. She was so in bad condition, you know. They hurried, brought her to the hospital. She made it. She's so destroyed mentally, you know, for what happened to her. And when you hear things like this, you ask, there's no way you're not going to ask God, why? Why things like this happen, you know? And to me, when I find out about it, I change my sermon and I preach a sermon that I call it, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And the existence of evil says a lot. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the devil came to destroy, to rob, to kill. But he has come to bring us life, an abundant life. But the devil is just working in so many, many, many areas. Things that you cannot imagine. It was so devastating. But I'm glad that she's okay. Hopefully the future and the support of brethren, you know, will help him to get on her feet again. Then we went to another congregation at Yerba Buena. This congregation, that was my first time going there. They were struggling some issues, and hopefully we can pray for them. Like any other congregation, we have up and downs and issues to solve, and I'm not going to talk about their issues, but hopefully we try to do our best on advising them. This is another church in San Rafael. San Rafael is a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. As you can see, this is the wall, you know, there's nothing on it. It's a very rustic pulpit, but look at their faces. I mean, all of them are just happy. I took my projector, my computer, and they love when they can see something on the wall there, you know. They love that. And they were a very enthusiastic group also in San Rafael. They invited me to go back next year, Lord willing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 to 28, Paul says, in journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me, my deep concern for all the churches. But God forbid that I compare with the Apostle Paul. I'm just quoting his thought. But still, when I came back, I'm very concerned for many of the brethren there. Many of the brethren there. A church in Colima. Beautiful place also. Sammy and Danilo. Two young, good men. They need to grow like John Mark, but they are very enthusiastic. They have big plans all the time. And I told Danilo, but start with the small things, you know. He's always dreaming and preaching in a big congregation, make a huge building, but there are just five or six members. I told him, well, why wouldn't start, put your feet in the ground, let's start evangelizing. Let's try bringing people. Then you can be thinking about, it's good. Your dream is good. But let's work. Let's work before you're dreaming too much. You know. So But it's very enthusiastic, Danilo and Sammy. We need to pray also for them. The church at Democracia, there's another congregation there. If you have a pickup there, they're not going to be asking you for a ride. I mean, they just jump on it, you know, and they will go. Because there's so many kilometers that they live there, so they just go and jump on your truck, and you will give them a ride to the service or to wherever they go. That's the way that they understand life there. You can see they don't have a building. We just were worshiping in the hall of somebody's house, and same situation. This place is more hotter because it's going to the coast. It's not like in the capital city. This is the congregation where Brother Elder, one of our partners, preached in Catarina. They just barely had some lights. I told you about the windows with no glass, the doors with no doors, really. So this is where he preaches, you know. And I'll tell you something about elders. This is a new congregation that Brother Elder began. And actually, he just moved there. There were two sisters living in this remote area in La Cuchilla. So Elder, the two sisters stopped coming to the service. And Elder asked him why. He says, well, brother, we just cannot go. It's like at least 5 or 6 kilometers. And they have children. We don't have transportation. And we just can't go, you know. It's hard for us. And her husband is not a member of the church. So sometimes he's not in a good mood, so he says, no, you cannot go. So, brother, I'm sorry, we cannot continue going there. So Elder says, okay. So Elder said, what about if I go and start a congregation there? Where? She said, in La Cuchilla, where you live. Do you think you can do that? Well, you want me? Yeah, of course. So she came so glad and tell her husband. And you know, for her surprise, her husband says, tell Elder that I have a little bit of land in this corner. If he wants to make something, he can have it. So she told Elder, and Elders called me, Basilio, can you help us? I mean, get a little bit of money because I want to put a roof and a wall. And that's what we do. Well, that's what he did. In 2 weeks, he raised that wall. We bought this material for the roof, and this is just a fence. And the first day, there were more than 125 people there from the community and also from the support of other brethren. It's not that great. That's why when I go, I want to be useful. I want to go places where it needs. I don't want to go to Guatemala or Mexico to have a vacation. When I want to do that, I won't go to Guatemala. I will choose another place. Why Guatemala? But when we go there, we want to work. We want to work. And things like this really, really make you worship and praise the Lord because of His goodness and the provisions for His children. And this is the husband. You can see it's kind of rough. But when I talked to him, he was like a sheep. His outward is like a lion. When you talk to him, he's humble. I told the elder, you're going to win it pretty soon. That man, he just needs a lot of help. He's a cowboy. There's nothing wrong to be a cowboy, Brother Steve, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But his life, he wants to live like the Marlboro guy that announces the cigarettes, you know. No. He's humble. With a little bit of patience and God's wisdom, I think that pretty soon he's going to become a Christian also. I mean, he donated the place. And he says to his wife, yeah, tell that he can come and worship. And now he's worshiping there. Brother Elder take away his membership from Catarina and move to begin this new work. And he write me 2 weeks ago, we had our first baptism here. It was not Don Andres, but it was someone related to Don Andres. So it's getting closer. Let's keep praying for them. Well, I'm about to wrap it up. This is Elder's older son, he also is preaching. I preach here. It was Sunday night, like at 6 o'clock. It was so hot. That's the worship service. It's just a very rincón, a corner of a house where there's a little roof and there's no walls around it. People are actually on the left, on the right side, there's the street. People are just walking. Some of them will stop and see and watch for a while, and they just go. And that's where he preaches. There are just 6 or 8 members there. And I admire young people like him. He's 22 years old. I found one American brother there. He was also preaching. I can't remember his name right now. If it comes to my mind, I will tell you. But he's from Kentucky. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and weak men, for not all have faith. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. And this brother says, gracias, thank you for letting Brother Basilio to come here and work with us for 2 weeks. And I'll tell you also, thank you for being so patient. I hope that this presentation will give you a little bit of background about who we are and what we do. I'm praying and hoping that the Lord will bless us during this week, and we can have a very rich week in the spiritual sphere. If we all put what it needs, you coming with the intention to hear, I'll put the other part with the intention to share, to edify. And then the blessing of God will manifest in having us as brothers and sisters worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your fine attention. God bless you.